You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba.
This is Uncuffed.
Stories from Solano State Prison.
Our next story from Uncuffed is about Remus Sam Longhi. He's serving 38 years to life on a first-degree murder conviction, and in prison, he's become a guitarist and a songwriter. And recently, he wrote a song about the people he harmed. Uncuffed producer Brian Mazza has his story.
How does Remus Sam Longhi, a Pacific Islander in prison for life, adopt his Tongan ceremonial tradition to compose a remorseful song of healing?
I stole her sunshine.
Malolele.
Malolele.
How are you today?
Saibe. Saibe.
Tell me about your last name, Longhi.
My last name, it goes back as my grandpa's grandpa. The chief had told my ancestor to build him an estate in downtown Nuku'alofa. And then my ancestor replied back and told him and said, I'll build my estate in the heavens. Thai chief told him like, well, what about your descendants? What about those after you? What will they inherit? My ancestor told him they will inherit the heavens. Yeah, I'm the inheritor of heaven, you know.
Would you mind sharing what happened that night?
It was December 21st, 2002. A friend of mine invited me to come out to a barbecue that was during that night. It was a nighttime barbecue. And then after the barbecue, we drank. There were other group of gentlemen that was outside across the street. Altercation took place. And the police got there and we all arrested and stuff, and then I didn't realize it was serious till we got to the county jail. And they told me that you really hope this guy wakes up, man. And I was like, what? I don't remember. I don't remember it being that serious, man. Family decided to pull his plug on Christmas Day, and my charges changed from attempted murder to homicide.
Okay, talk to me about your victim's family.
They was always showing up to my court dates, you know.
You were well aware of the impact that you had on that family.
Yeah.
So talk to me one day. You're talking to your brother. Tell me about that.
Man, it was crazy, man, when I had to translate for Dad, man. My dad was apologizing to the family. My dad don't speak English, you know. And he said something about, even though my son's going to prison, you know, I'm still fortunate in the sense that I can still talk to him, you know. When he told me that, it made sense for me because when I look back, there was a period where the victim's family stopped showing up.
So whatever your dad told them?
My dad's apology, I believe it came off across as, you know, maybe
their victim's family stopped coming to court.
Man, they stopped showing up. They didn't even come for trial. They didn't even come for the sentencing.
They started healing. What your dad told them started the healing process for them.
I believe that. Back in the Polynesia, like if a party even kills another party, right? Before the sun rises, they go and they wear a bulo, like a tapa cloth, and they sit in the front of the victim's family's house, right? The family can do whatever they want to do with them. They can kill them. They can retaliate. They can do whatever they want to do. And if not, the family will come out and forgive them. That's exactly what my dad did.
You're still writing music, and most of your music had negative connotations to it.
Growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in is going through the juvenile hall system and stuff, like raps was like how we kill time.
Tell me about what happened when your sister comes to visit you.
She asked me, hey man, so I'm hearing from my Leah and them and all your nephews that you've written so many songs, you know, all you do is write songs. And I was like, yeah, I got a lot of them. Well, sing me one of your songs. Let me hear one of your songs. And I was going through, you know, going through which song would be appropriate, you know, to sing for my sister. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of one.
Because of what?
Because of the content of the songs, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like the taboo is, we can't swear when we're around each other. We can't, I can't be in a room. She can't be in my room. We can't even watch TV together.
So you weren't able to share any of your music with your sister at that point in time?
None.
Tell me what happened after that with your creativity, that is. What did you want to do?
She tells me, it was a turning point for me. She tells me, you can't sing one song, huh? It's like, nope, I can't. I said, why? It's like, kap kap it. Meaning swear words, huh? It's like, yup. And she tells me, man, why don't you write a song that when I hear it, I'll be proud to say that you're my brother. Or if your nieces hear the songs, that they'll be proud to say that you're their uncle, you know what I mean? Sing beautiful songs. And that kind of like sparked this whole thing for me that I had never written my letter of remorse. And I go to what's natural for me, you know what I mean? Like
the music.
The music. So I go back to playing the guitar, and when I'm playing the guitar, this song comes to me, man.
I stole her sunshine. Robbed her blind in the middle of the night. With a phone call bearing bad news, a dreadful kind. The kind you never want your mother to hear, feel, and go through.
That's Remus Sam Longy performing his song Heaven Please with guitarist Joseph Kaufman. Longy was interviewed by Brian Mazza, a student in KELW's class at Solano State Prison. You can find more songs from Longy at our website, kalw.org/uncuffed. And while you're at our website, if you haven't subscribed yet to the Cross Currents podcast, you need to do it. This is your chance. Hear all our stories whenever you want, wherever you want.
Help her make it through the night. Heaven, please, let us see a better tomorrow. Heaven, please.